So in the remaining minutes this morning, I have been looking at some of the, I don't have a real good term for it, hallmarks of our faith, principles of our faith, some of the things that are, should be very evident of believers, of sincere, Christ-centered believers, not of your rank-and-file, pew-warming, social gathering churchgoer, but of those who are genuinely in love with our Lord Jesus. What are some of the things that should be a characteristic of their life? And as I said last time, this isn't given as a measuring stick. This isn't, well, let's see how I measure up to Paul's plan. Is he, am I a good Christian, a bad Christian? It's really just kind of focusing on some of the things that should be evident in our lives. It's not an exhaustive list. It's just some of the things that I've looked at. The last time I spoke, I talked about faith, and that it's where the whole thing begins. Very clearly, the Word tells us, in order to have a relationship with Him, you have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And so it begins with faith. Faith is extremely difficult to define and to describe. I don't think that it can be defined, because definition, to some degree, means that it goes here, it stops here, starts there. It has some limitation to it. And I don't think that we can put faith in a box. I think we have a lot of descriptions that kind of give us a feel for what we're talking about, but I don't think that it can be clearly defined. A couple of the points from that last time were the fact that faith operates like a sense, like the sense of sight, like the sense of hearing, where it takes something intangible from outside the body and brings it inside the body. And so the spirit realm is intangible, mostly, to the physical realm. And so there is this spiritual connection through faith. There's another aspect of faith that I find particularly relevant for our Christian life, and that is that aspect where faith reaches through the absolutely utter dark circumstances that we go through and yet holds firmly on to Him. We know that while we're reaching through this dark circumstance and holding, it's really Him holding us. But there is still this thing that starts in here in us and reaches through that dark experience and says, I know you're there, and I know that what you have said is true. I know that Romans 8:28 applies to me, and I am hanging on. That is a description of faith. There is also, I am so moved by the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. There is something about that faith. There is something about that expectation. I can't describe it, but there is something that she brought to the table that got her something from Jesus. That's a very crude way to explain it. But you know, in connection with that, as a bit of an aside, I can recall as a teenager the great impact, and I talked about this at Hoshua, the great impact on me coming to Family Ministries with all of you weird people who said you loved Jesus out loud and you would stand up and raise your hands. It was weird for me. But there was such an impact on my life in seeing you folks worshiping the Lord. I forgot where I was going with that point. It's not covered in my notes. The expectation. There we go. So at that point in my life, as age 13, 14, 15, I would come to Sunday morning at Family Ministries with an expectation. I almost wanted to bring a notebook and take notes, because I knew what I was going to see was a lesson on how to live my life, a lesson on what God has in store for me. I would hear people ahead of me, hear people behind me who are in their Christian life, and I would hear testimony of what the Lord's doing. And I came with this expectation that I'm going to hear from the Lord. And there is, in a small way, part of the reason we receive so much at Hoshua, let me underscore that, part of the reason we receive so much at Hoshua is we come with that same expectation. The Lord has met us there. We believe the Lord is going to meet us there. And we go there going, all right, what do you have for me? I'm ready. What is it? What I find is, I know for myself, there have been times when I have attended services that I didn't come with that expectation. I came with the scorecard. I came with my judge robes, and I was like, well, you know, I liked that point. I think they illustrated that pretty well. And, well, now that one, I probably wouldn't score that. I think for the service, I'm going to give that a 7.6. I'll hold up an 8.0 on that one. Where is the expectation that God is going to be faithful to you and minister to you? I didn't want to miss Sunday morning here. And it wasn't just because of a dynamic speaker. It was because I knew the Lord was going to be here, and I knew something was going to happen, and it was something that I would need. I would need to write this down and take this with me. There is something of that expectation, that aspect of faith in that woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. There is something in this faith thing that reaches through and makes that connection and draws from. And lest it be said that it is a message on faith, a faith-centered message, it kind of was. But Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the beginning point. He's the end point. He's the means in between. It really is all about him. This whole thing of our Christian life is, it really is all about him. Really, I don't know how to say it and get you to see it even more than you already see it, but it really is all about him. So we talked about faith. Faith is very much connected with this next topic. All of these topics are very well connected because it is a living relationship with our Lord. And so all these things are going to be as connected as a body is. It's all connected. It's connected in the head. But this next topic being that of abiding, living his life. And again, saying, let me beat that same drum. It's all about him. But let me read John 15, verses 1 through 11. John 15, 1 through 11 says, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I believe there is so much depth in that passage. I think we could just go on forever and ever and ever. But let's just define some of the key components in the passage. You already know this, but just for sake of clarity, Jesus is the vine. John 15:1, I am the true vine. 15 verse 5 says, I am the vine. So Jesus, very clearly, he's the vine. You, very clearly, are the branches. John 15:5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. So now there's no ambiguity here. Jesus is vine, you are branches. And the Father is the vine dresser. If you look at verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Also, if you read verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That's the Father, the vine dresser. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. This passage, in my heart and mind, is very clearly not only talking about abiding, but its point seems to be the production of fruit. And what we're talking about is reproducing the life of Christ, the mind of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, and how will it happen? This is why, to me, this abiding is so important. Because everyone wants a better life. Everyone wants to stop sinning. Everyone who's sincere about being a good person has run smack dab into Romans 7. The good that I want to do, I don't do, but what I hate, I do. And I'll never forget, as a teenager, finding Romans 7 and going, my goodness, the Apostle Paul knows exactly what I'm talking about. I had never seen it spelled out so clearly, but I'd been beating my head against that thing, and I'm like, wow, that is exactly what I'm talking about. And you have felt that too. Everybody wants a better life, and how are you going to do it? Part of the problem with our good Western culture is we have this good dose of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Go out there and get her done. The American spirit, it's the American way. I can help myself. And when I help myself, I'll help you. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm telling you that's not how you get spiritual fruit. Many preachers have used that aspect because many people use reasoning and say, okay, if I can avoid saying a swear word the next time I hit my thumb with a hammer, then I can get better and not say them other times, or this self-improvement process. Again, I'm not telling you don't do that. Avoid saying those things. And, you know, when temptation is in your face, deal with it. Do your best. Try. But that's not how you produce spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit comes from abiding in Christ. This term is one that we use often, but we don't really think about what does this really mean? What does it actually mean, abide in him? I like an expression I've heard at times. People won't say, I live in Georgetown. They'll talk about, that's where I stay at. Well, I kind of like that phrase because Christ is where I stay at. That's where I want to stay. That's where I want to remain. That's where I want to be found, in him. The point is, we want to produce the fruit of the Spirit. You know that list from Galatians. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, self-control. We want that list. But it comes by abiding in the vine. Now, the other thing that I find great comfort in is the fact, and I hadn't really looked at this before, is this third part. I mentioned that he's the vine and you're the branches. Okay, we got it. He's vine, I'm branch. Oh, third part there is God the Father is the vine dresser. You know, before, when it's just he's vine, I'm branches, I'm kind of looking at this relationship back and forth. He gives what I need, I take what he gives, and I produce his life. But standing outside of that is the vine dresser who's looking at this massive vine. And it is for his glory. We read in John 15 that God the Father is glorified when we produce fruit. And so he is all about pruning. He's all about cutting away the dead. In one of the commentaries I read somewhere, and unfortunately I didn't write down the source, so I can't quote whoever said it. Must have been me. Sorry. A little wrong vine there. thank you. We could clip that out of the message. That'd be good. But one of the ones that I read was talking about the branch that's dead, that he cuts away and is thrown into the fire and burned, that the term there was actually more cleaning rather than cutting this dead thing away. Because and my perspective is that works a lot more in my own life, because There are things that are not producing his fruit, not producing life, and it's called sin. And he cleanses sin and forgives us. So he cuts those things away. But the perspective is, if you are the branch and you're interested in producing fruit and you're connected to the vine, okay, that's good. You've got your right source. But the person, there's someone outside who is all-knowing, all-sufficient, El Shaddai, has everything that you need, and he is interested in producing fruit which glorifies him. And so if he's got this cluster of grapes here that is weak and failing and in despair, the vine dresser knows how to deal with that. He knows to cut or not to cut, how to tie it on, what he has to do to protect that branch that might be weak. There is someone who's looking out for you when you're feeling weak. And he has everything that you need. And he has a purpose. And he has a plan. And to me, it is so comforting that there is a vine dresser who is all about reproducing his life through me. And he's tending to what I need. He's cutting where I need a cut. He's binding up where I need binding up. He's putting salve where I need salve. Because he's the vine dresser. And when we use the word father, this isn't the Hollywood version of father, the bumbling idiot who knows nothing. This is the father who, in his mind, planned this whole thing and said, let there be, and it's falling into place. This is the father who's the vine dresser. As I come back to this point of how will you produce life, if you look at James 2:18 says, but someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. There's a lot of times that preachers use this passage as, you better get with the program. You say you're a Christian? Well, let me see some proof of that. Do something. You need to give more. Well, you need to serve more. You need to pray more. You need to obey. You need to prove. You got to do something to prove that you're a Christian. The problem is, that's like trying to produce a when, a then, to prove an if. So let me back up. In dealing with Excel spreadsheets, you can do these if-then statements so that if this plus this is less than that, then give me this thing here. And so it's an if-then statement. If these conditions are met, then give me this. Well, if you abide in Christ, you're going to keep his commandments. If you abide in Christ and his words abide in you, you're going to produce fruit. That's an if-then. But preachers often use this, so show me your faith without your works and all this. And they say, so go out and produce a then, and we'll see if you have an if. Are you following? It's kind of weird to say it that way. It doesn't work. You can't produce a then to prove an if. What is produces the fruit. Years back, I think Brandon was probably about 9 or 10 at the time, I was going over this point with the boys about the life of Christ coming out. Or if you're not abiding in Christ, there's something else coming out. And so I gave them the example. I said, so, you know, if you boys are, messing around, you're all angry and bitter with each other, and you're complaining about this, and you're acting all ridiculous and all this, what's that a sign of? And Brandon said, too much sugar? Well, yeah. But when a Christian is producing things that aren't the fruit of the Spirit, what's that a sign of? Now, I don't want to monkey with the illustration that Jesus gave us. And, you know, you can add all kinds of things to this illustration to make all sorts of points. But the main point, as I see it at this point, regarding the vine and the branches, is fruit production by abiding in Christ. As you let him live out his life through you. But if I were to adjust the illustration just a little bit, you know, we weren't born as grapevines. We were born with a human nature. We're born in a human body, and we live in a world system that everything is counter to grapevine life, if you will. And so there's a lot of times that we are producing according to Adam instead of producing according to Christ. We're producing, I produce an awful lot in accordance with Paul, and I'm not talking about the apostle. And this comes into one of the other great themes of the Christian life, and it is the exchanged life. Am I going to live out the life of Paul Greenlee? Am I going to live out the nature of Adam? Or am I going to say, no, I'm going to live out the life of Christ? Some time back, my father-in-law shared the testimony in taking care of his stepfather. There were a lot of challenges. A lot of times when push really came to shove, I mean, really hard challenges. And his phrase was, thy life for mine in this. Abiding is his life in us for everything. You got a choice. I can handle this my way, or I can let Christ live out his life through me. If we choose to follow Adam, follow the nature we were born with, we're going to look like Galatians 5:19-21. Let me read you that. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, if we stick with the nature we're born with, that's the fruit we produce. The next two verses are the fruit of the Spirit. But Galatians 5:22 starts with the word, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So there's a contrast here. I can live by my way. Welcome to verses 19 and 21. Or I can say, no, I can deny myself. And we've heard the descriptions of the difference between self-denial and denying self. It's which life are you going to live with? Are you going to allow the life of Christ to flow through you? Hudson Taylor said, the branch of the vine doesn't worry and toil and rush here to seek for sunshine and there to find rain. No, it rests in union and communion with the vine. And at the right time and in the right way is the right fruit found on it. Let us so abide in the Lord Jesus. Let me also read you from Charles Trumbull. The resources of the Christian life, my friends, are just Jesus Christ. The many references to Christ in you, you in Christ, Christ our life, and abiding in Christ are literal, actual, blessed fact, and not figures of speech. Jesus Christ does not want to be our helper. He wants to be our life. There's a huge difference. Most of Christianity thinks he's our helper, and he is our ever-present help in time of need. But that's a different point on this. He wants to be our life. He does not want us to work for him. He wants us to let him do his work through us, using us as we use a pencil to write with. Better still, using us as one of the fingers of his hand. I'm reminded again when Peter, the man who was lame, and Peter said, I don't have any money to give you, but in the name of Jesus. And he took it, reached out his hand, and he made him stand up and walk. It was Peter's hand. But whose hand was inside that hand? Because Peter's hand has nothing. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's something less than zero, right? You can do nothing. John 15:8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So there's this aspect of our lives on one level where we want to produce fruit. We want to have love, joy, gentleness, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. But there's a whole other level above this called the glory of God. And the vine dresser has this massive vineyard of one vine. And he is able to tend and care and cut and prune and bind and do whatever it is that a vine dresser does to produce this massive vineyard of fruit. And we're part of that as we are drawing our life from him. And as we live to him, he's glorified by this. Supernaturally, naturally, the life of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit are reproduced in the believer by abiding in, living in, even resting in the life of Jesus that's resident in the believer. At the hands of the Father, the vine and the branches are tended in such a way that produce fruit and glorify him. And so we rest in that, and we live. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much that you are in control.
Yes, amen.
You are the master vine dresser, and it is a beautiful thing that you are doing. We are glad that you are glorified, and we ask that you help us. Bind us up where we need binding, cut where we need cut. Just produce your life through us for the world, for the church, and for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.